So the thing I want you to do right now, so the sermon, like I said, this is Who is God? And this is a very hard sermon because we could do, you know, years of sermons on who is God. And in fact, as I was talking to my mom yesterday, one of the things I was struggling with, I was like, I was personally struggling with is the, like, every sermon should essentially be who is God, right? Every sermon is looking at God, right, through a different lens. So I was like, this is a, you know, a really difficult thing to narrow down into a 45-minute sermon, give or take. So what I thought about was, then I kind of reframed it, and the question I was asking myself is, like, who do the people at the table need to be reminded that God is? And then I was like, well, I'm not in all of their heads. So I don't know. So then we went back to the drawing board. But, okay, all that is to say, the first thing I want you to do, and, like, I don't want a Sunday school answer. I just want you to think, and you don't have to share. But I just want, like, when I say the word God, God the Father, Holy Spirit, what comes to your mind? What images, what feelings? You don't have to share if you don't want to. I'm not asking you to. But, like, not the, like, oh, I know God is good, or Jesus, he's the answer, right? Like, Sunday school answer. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. The first time I did this exercise, I saw, like, the Abraham Lincoln statue. Mm-hmm. Without, like, but I couldn't even see the face. Like, it was only the, like, legs down.
Yeah.
That's, like, that was my first image. And some of you, if you don't see anything, that's also telling you something, right? So I want you to think, because that's your heart picture, right? You have your, like, I know this is right, right? Like, all of us know that, like, to be healthy, we should exercise, what is it, 5 days a week or something? Or 20, it's 150 minutes of vigorous activity, right?
Yeah,
and we all know that, but whether or not we do it is a different, like, thing, right? You know, we should all eat more fruits and vegetables. We know that, but it doesn't mean we do it. And so, like, what, you know, we know, we all, most of us here grew up in church or around church. And so we know correct answers. But we have to, if we want a feeling about who God is, we have to address what our thoughts are about it, right? What our feelings and our emotions are. And that tells us whatever image you're picturing, right? It tells you, like, my image told me, like, I saw God as distant, right? And very much an authority, right? Not someone who loved me or cared for me, right? This was years ago. But I think it's an important, and I remember that because that's how we address moving forward, because God is who God says he is, right? It's not, we don't get to decide, God, you're like this, because we, especially because Scripture's favorite image is God the Father, and we've all had earthly fathers, and no matter how perfect your earthly dad was, he was not perfect, right? There are issues. And that doesn't mean they're not a good man, but it does mean that, like, we often project who our dads are onto God. That's just a very, I mean, and it makes sense, because growing up, you hear God the Father, God the Father, God the Father, and you're like, oh, okay, like, I know Father. Like, we have to address what's there. We can't change anything if we don't address what's there. And then the next thing is thinking about, how do you feel when you think about spending time with God? Not when you spend time with God, but when you think about it. Because I know sometimes I can feel guilty. Like,
that's,
oh, I should do this.
Overwhelmed.
overwhelmed. Sometimes, yesterday I realized my mom and I were just like, we were enjoying our day, but, like, not being very productive. And, yes, I know that sometimes that's good, but I realized that, like, I was avoiding working on my sermon, and it took me a while to realize it because I didn't want to sit with God, because I can't write a sermon and not spend time with God, right? It's not an academic exercise for me. I know that it's possible to make it an academic exercise, but I don't think there's fruit in that. And so I was worried God was disappointed in me. And so, like, I just didn't want to start the sermon, so I just, like, kept doing nothing, which only increased my feelings of he's going to be disappointed in me, even though that's not what, like, who God is. But, and so I want you to think about that, not because I know when I spend time with God, I very rarely feel like he's disappointed in me, or, you know, but, like, when I think about it, when I think about I need to do this, I have emotions that are not always healthy or helpful.
Wow.
What was the question exactly?
Oh, well, let me look at the screen for the exact
words. It doesn't have to be the exact words. I just didn't hear exactly what you asked, and I'm extrapolating from what I've heard since.
Sorry. How do you feel when you think about spending time with God?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And people are welcome to share if they'd like, but also no worries.
I had a little epiphany about the first one.
Mm-hmm.
One sec, sorry.
You're fine.
You asked what's the mental picture, and the first thing that came to mind was the Sistine Chapel picture of God reaching down to Adam. And it occurred to me Eve is not present.
Oh, yeah.
In that picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely colors my perception.
Yeah. That's a great point. So.
I said the cosmos.
Very nice.
I don't understand that.
Guilty with the second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, guilty.
This is my job too.
Like, I'm always bringing problems to that.
And I want to give a very important disclaimer as we talk today about who is God. So God is so much bigger than we can ever hope to comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is not a sermon that I want you to walk away and be like, yes, I could go up to somebody who's never heard of God and explain to who God is, right? Like, in 5 minutes or less, right? Like, this is not the point. But as I thought about this, one of the things that really kind of hit me was, like, if I am trying to tell you about my mom, right? Or I want you to know who my mom is, I can talk about my mom, or I can introduce you to my mom. And I was like, one of these is more effective, right, than the other. Because, yeah, I might say, my mom looks like me, she's funny, she's very outspoken, I can say those things, she loves to host and all that, but that doesn't mean anything until you've met her. And I know most of you have met God, but I realized that today was a day of, like, I want to let God do the talking, so that's why I said where it's going to be more of an activity. And what I did, because of all of this, because God is too big, I forgot something, because I can't project this. But Luke and I will send out two pictures. So I have...
I can
send them. Okay, well, you can send out your... I have one, too. But in 2020, just send out the one you made in 2020, the one from Sacred Slow,
They both were.
Oh, they both were? Okay.
The square one or the...
I was thinking the square one, but you can do both if you want. So, because that one's more of a contrast to mine, which is kind of why I want it, like...
Gotcha.
So... In 2020, Luke and I and several others went through the book, The Sacred Slow, which is a great book, devotional and guidance, but it will, it's also a book that, like, takes a lot out of you. Totally recommend it, but
Is it Sacred Slow?
Yes, the
S-O-O-W.
Sacred
Slow.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
My mother couldn't finish it.
But now that you said you did it in a group.
I couldn't even start it.
Yeah, no, I didn't
get it. No, it was just like every question was something I couldn't answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not, it's very...
It's a great group.
Yes, great book, but it takes a lot out of you to do it. Like, anyway, but part of that process in that book, one of the things is you make an art project type thing of who is God, right? And you try to put down everything God is speaking to you into this, right? And I am very, very, like, words are my friend, right? So mine was all, like, words. And it's still hanging above my bed. That's where I keep it. It's up on my bed. And then Luke's picture, which you can see, these were, the big projection I was going to do, is much more multidimensional. There's not words. And without Luke explaining it, which I'm not going to ask you to do right now, I don't think you'd understand it. I mean, maybe you will, because maybe you're, you know.
That's very
Mondrian of you. Yeah. Like, just that idea of who is God. Because, what, Kelly?
I only see words.
You don't see Luke's?
Yeah, I don't see Luke's.
Oh, it's in try the group chat. He sent it in the group chat.
Oh, okay. I thought you posted it. Okay.
No, sorry, we're having technical difficulties.
That's something you should have up on display, do you?
I see yours.
It's falling apart.
Oh. Okay.
People frame it and put it on.
It's construction paper, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's construction paper. Very nice.
Yeah, he did a great job with it.
Yeah.
And after the service, if you want to talk to Luke about what it means, go ahead. But my point being is, when we try to, like, picture God, right, there's no one right answer. And there's no, like, you know, this is God. Here you go. I made it. I pictured it. Like, done, right? And we understand God in different ways. Right? And that's a really important piece, too. Because I can't tell someone, right, that, like, they're understanding, because I am not musically inclined, just because you hear, you notice God in, like, the songs or whatnot, that they're wrong, right? I think of when, one of the most beautiful things, and I didn't know, I believe Sarah is the one who told us this, and this wasn't even at church, this was just another thing, but in the movie K-Pop Demon Hunters, my favorite song is an octave lower than the other one exactly because she's struggling with the high notes the whole time because she's denying her identity. And then when she accepts her identity, it's a full, like, and so it's a very music.
Much lower. So I don't know if it's exactly an octave.
But
yeah. She's as her true self starts coming out more and more, her voice is continually lowering and therefore she cannot keep up the facade.
Mm-hmm. And it's
and
beautiful.
The last song is an alto song
mm-hmm.
instead of being a
soprano. Yeah, so, but like that kind of imagery, right? Like, I never ever would have picked up on that watching this movie, right? So, I want to say, like, but that is to say, there are wrong images of God, right? I can't say that everyone who has an image of God is correct, right? Because there are a lot of people, just like the Jews in first century Israel. They were expecting, right, a Davidic king to come back, and they wanted someone to take over Rome. That is was their goal, right? And today we see that, too. When we look at Iran and everything that's happening there, and from a geopolitical, secular human standpoint, I can really understand, you know, let's take out the leader, right? Let's just, bad person, like, I can understand that, but like from a faith perspective, Jesus calls us to love our enemies, which never makes any sense, right? Like, love the people that are hurting us or hurting other people, right? And like, he doesn't call us to bomb our enemies, right? You can't bomb your way to peace. There's a saying in Latin that I'm not going to try the Latin, but like, if you want peace, prepare for peace. Mm. Right? And because you can't have war to get peace. Right? And so on one hand, there's a part of me, that very practical side, that part of me that loves superhero movies and like bad guys should die. Right? Like that's, you know, essentially I watch
black
a lot.
White.
What?
It's black and white.
Yes. Like I love superhero movies. Like I love. Now, I mean, there are like with the Avengers, they really did it because they got lots of and like, you know, multifaceted, but off topic. Anyway, right? Like, I mean, there's a part of me, like I love my favorite genre is dystopia, right? And like watching the rebels overthrow a government, right? Like that's where like, I'm like, I don't know why, but I love that, right? And yeah. So like, and so like, there's a very practical side of me that's like, okay, this makes sense, right? You know, this is what you should do as a leader, right? You don't want bad people in charge. We should get rid of bad people in charge, right? Like, and then there's another part of me that is slowly being sanctified that's like, this isn't the way God calls us to act. And so much the wisdom of the world is, you know, the foolishness of God. And so, like, there is this, God is always, he does an upside down kingdom. And I think about historically, what are the things that have changed the world the most? Think of Martin Luther King and his nonviolent civil rights movement. Think of Nelson Mandela, who spent 27 years in prison nonviolently. There's Gandhi, Mother Teresa. Yeah. It is nonviolence that is the thing that makes sustainable change in the world. Those nonviolent protests are the ones that people point to as this has made a change. Right?
What about Joan of Arc, then?
I wasn't talking about Joan of Arc, and that's a really complicated, because she was used by the French. Anyway, so I'm not going to get into Joan of Arc. So when we want to paint God as on our side, you don't have the right image. Because you're either on God's side, like you're, God is the side, right? You can't be like, God's on my side. Like,
God's dead behind me.
Yeah, like, right? Like, it's God's side or it's the world's side. And like, that's where you have to be on God's side, right? You can't paint God, because so often we just want to take whatever it is we want and paint God to look like that. So there are two books, they say, that God wrote. Nature and Scripture, right? And so we take those two as we study those two. And I would argue history is also a part of nature, right? We see God in history all of the time moving. And we also see sin in history, right? Like, both of those are true. But one of the things that always stands out to me is one of the reasons the Germans lost in World War II is because of rainy weather stopped them from getting a territory that they were planning on getting, right? And every time I think about that, I think about God's sovereignty. Like, and this was early on in the war, and they were headed, and they were just kind of unstoppable. The, oh my gosh, what's the term for the very fast?
Blitzkrieg?
Yes, like they were doing blitzkrieg and taking over things, right? Mm-hmm. And no one was stopping them. And then all of a sudden they had to stop because of the mud and everything. It was like the first time they were stopped, and it wasn't by humans, right? And I cannot say God told me that he did that, right? But when I look at history and I look at the evil atrocities that were happening, I see a God that stood in the way, right? Yes.
Another very similar story. The reason we have most of the ancient texts that we have is because of something like that. While Rome was being burned down and everything was on the continent was being destroyed by invaders, there were Irish monks copying out, like they had their scriptorum copying out all these texts. And again, it was bad weather and like really like the channel or whatever was very tumultuous, and they looked at it and like, nah, not worth it.
Yeah. Like, there's so much in history where God protects. And so both are examples of that. And I know you all can think of your personal histories as well. So one, nature is not in contract to scripture, and science is not in contract. Like, I know that I don't really need to say that with this group, but I do, like, it is an important thing to read. You know, God wrote the book of nature. If he created nature, he created humans. We cannot, like, be afraid of studying it. And I think the more we study it, the more we learn about God. Right? Especially God's love of diversity. And then we study scripture. Right? So those are the two things that we have that allow us to look at who God is. So I will say God is, the best way, you know, I can phrase it is, God is in all things, but God, not all things are in God. And what I mean by that, right, is that in Iran, God is there with the people. Whether they, like, acknowledge him or not, he is present there, right? And I believe he's trying to call people to him. I really do, you know? But he is not with a totalitarian tyrant, right? It's kind of I felt like the English didn't...
He is in presence without being in alliance.
Yes! There you go. Thank you. That's a great way of putting it. He is in presence without being in alliance. And you can see God, right? Like, God has spoken to me through country songs that have absolutely nothing to do with him, right? That are about breakup songs, for crying out loud. Or, like, you know, a book or whatever. And because, like, suddenly the words will hit a little bit different. So God is there. He's present. And if you're listening, he's speaking to you. But we can't then take it and be like, oh, well, God is this country music song, right? Like, that would be a big fallacy. Does that make sense? Okay. So what I'm doing today, what we are going to do today, and Kelly, I'm going to send you some pictures in a minute, is we're going to do a Who is God time. And I am going to, I have 31 different attributes of God on these cards. And I'm not expecting you to go through all 31 today. In fact, I would highly not do it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to allow you to pick a color, and I want you to sit with that for a little bit, no matter what you got, just sit with it, all right? There's a scripture on there, journal, you can draw, take a picture, meditate on it. What is God trying to speak to you? Once you have really wrestled with that, because again, like, one of them, is like, God is wrath, right? They're not all our, like, favorite scriptures, right? Because God is so much bigger. This is... Because God is both merciful and just and all of that, but he also does...
God were a little more wrathful sometimes.
Right, yeah.
Not so, to me, but to everybody else.
Right, right? Yeah. So, like, I really want you to kind of do that. that and let God speak to you, right, about that. Then, when you are done, time-wise, we're going to do this for about 20 minutes. If you're done with your card, like, after you've actually wrestled with it, not like, I don't like this trait, I'm going to put the cards over there, upside down, and just grab another one, right? And just really sit and resonate and let God tell you who he is.